This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening, faithful listeners. You're listening to The Spirit Lounge every Thursday from 8 till 9 on Joy 94.9. And tonight we have quite an exciting show. We are talking to Georgia Murphy about the ANZAC Centenary Peace Coalition Project. It's quite an exciting thing. I know that was quite a mouthful of words. And of course, we are still joined by David.
Hello, Tal.
Who is very excited.
I am very excited
tonight. I can tell. It's all over his face. Now, before we continue, the first thing I'd like to remind people, I guess this is a bit of house cleaning, is that we want to be directing people towards our Facebook page. Sometimes we talk about in our show about, check out our social media page, etc., etc. Except then I sort of realize, we have many more listeners that actually go on our page and are in our group, which is a bit silly than if we're directing, and of course check out a little more there. So please, if you're in the car and you get home, or you're already at home, or you're at your computer right now, in which you really have no excuse, please go type in The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. You will see a picture that includes my goofy face and Joy's goofy face in it. Please come join our group. We'll have great fun and we get to stay in contact with you. Now, our first song, because we're talking to Georgia tonight, I am being a little irritating, maybe for her. Hopefully she won't be too offended. But we'll be playing a song called The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charles Daniels Band.
Once you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been. He played Found a Mountain, Run, Boy, Run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun.
Good evening and welcome back. And tonight we are talking to Georgia Murphy. And as I said, she is the project officer for the ANZAC Centenary Peace Coalition. And, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is absolutely fine. And we want to start by asking, I guess, what is the ANZAC Centenary Peace Coalition?
Thanks again for having me. So the ANZAC Centenary Peace Coalition is basically a group of organisations that have come together in the lead up to the 100 years since World War One and the Gallipoli campaign in 2015 will be 100 years since 1915, obviously. And we're looking at reflecting on issues of peace and war in our history and what that means for our future, basically.
Right. So who is in this coalition? I mean, you don't have to give us the rundown of everyone, but...
Yeah. Basically, it's a range of organisations, from social justice organisations to faith groups and unions. So we've got, for example, the Uniting Church, which is... where I work. We've got the Buddhist Council of Victoria, for example, the Victorian Council of Churches. We've got the Quakers.
Quite an eclectic group you have there. And it seems so you're saying that the major point here is to sort of discuss, I mean, you said like peace and war, but I think you mean you seem to mean it in the way of peace instead of war, like that.
That's right. I guess learning from the idea of reflecting on war during this time is to really commit ourselves to peace and to learn from the experience of war and what it, basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, do we have any more specific aims apart from that?
Yes, well, we're trying to also question our notion of that the Gallipoli campaign was what...
Do you mean like a founding, like the idea of it being this founding?
Yeah, that's right. So that the Gallipoli campaign was what gave us our national identity in Australia. So, and kind of questioning that notion, and maybe like what other aspects of our history have contributed to our national character and identity. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, it's always kind of bothered me that... Mm. That idea that it just seems to, when you think about it too long, it doesn't quite make sense. Like, I mean, not to say that it was a not an important event in our history, but one battle that was 100 years ago that wasn't, I mean, we'd been a country for longer than that and continued to be either. It seemed strange to then call it our founding myth.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and when we look at our history, we can see that there are many other great aspects of our history that were quite pioneering, and like the social movements at the time were really great. So we had like Australia, for example, was the first country in the world to give women the vote, and were the first country in the world to have the minimum wage, basically. So we were, and we federated as a country peacefully. So these are really great aspects of our history that we should celebrate as well, I think.
That's a funny thing I'd never considered, is in many ways because the Federation, I mean, debatably, I guess you could, it depends on the way you want to talk about when the country starts, but for the most part, it's true. Our founding of Australia was peaceful, and so suddenly we go and find a war to say is our real founding, and that is quite strange.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
So tell us also about, I guess, you, like... I'm understanding you're a bit as part of the Uniting Church in this role or something like that. So what is the Uniting Church's role specifically?
Well, the Uniting Church is just one of the members of the coalition, and they've funded my role partially. So Pax Christi has also funded the other half of the role. So that's basically their involvement as, providing the project officer role. Yeah,
because we see that I work in interfaith, and then also we have many people on the show, many of which are from the Uniting Church. Maybe you know better, but what is it about the Uniting Church that is so concerned with all of these things? Why do I keep seeing them on the radar?
The Uniting Church seems to be a very progressive church, and they're always committed to social justice and equality and issues of peace as well. So it's just something that's caught their interest and they've decided to, contribute to.
So I guess I'd like to ask, you want to talk about focusing on other things instead, but of course, Anzac Day and all these are still huge, huge days, considered very important days in Australia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, should we be commemorating these wars? Commemorating?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, we feel that it's very much that a lot of people, died in these wars. It was very like a tragic loss of life. So it's important that we do commemorate these, the World War One. But I think what's important to note is how we commemorate it. So whether it's focusing on, this notion that it built Australia's national identity, or if it's
do you mean like just a tragedy of its own that just treat it as,
or
that?
Should we we need to focus on it, the fact that we need to commit to peace and learn from the experience of war rather than
And you're listening to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
I said just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
And that was Ray Charles's Georgia on My Mind here on the Spirit Lounge, and that was dedicated to our guest, Georgia. I really couldn't resist. And we had just left saying, I mean, we were kind of asking a little, but it seems you're not proposing that we do not commemorate veterans or
No, that's not what it is. No. Basically, we're using the centenary of Anzac as a catalyst to open up discussions about our past and our history and war and its effect on our country and, yeah.
Well, it seems... How do you feel that, I guess, how do you think people currently think about it?
I think it's become this sort of story of Anzac or the legend of Anzac has become quite simplified, and it kind of highlights, you know, the bravery and sacrifice of servicemen, which, you know, it was, but it doesn't really go into any depth about war and its consequences. So... or even the causes of war, and causes of First World War, for example. So, yeah, I think it's important for people to try and, you know, to try and understand those things so we can prevent it happening again in the future, because it was such a huge impact on our country. We don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. It was obviously huge. I mean, we're taught about it quite a lot, but I think it's interesting what you say about the causes of it, because in many ways we end up glossing over, and sometimes I hear a bit that it's about freedom and democracy, and I'm a bit surprised by that as someone who's a historian myself, I guess, that it's a bit weird to think, so we're a colony of an empire fighting another empire in a side war of a war between empires, and we're fighting for... freedom? It just...
Yeah, it's a strange concept, isn't it?
Right. But of course, as you're saying, it's not necessarily... I think probably, and I think we want to make clear for our listeners, because a lot of people become anti-war, then in a way also becomes anti the people that took part in that war.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes a concerning result.
We don't want to be too controversial there and try and... We don't want to offend anyone or any veterans or anything. That's not our goal at all.
No. Yeah. So how should we commemorate Anzac Day? I mean, even beyond just the centenary.
Well, one way we could do that is to perhaps focus on the peace movement that happened during the World War One. And I think that one of the groups of the Anzac Centenary, which is the Medical Association for the Prevention of War, is going to be commemorating Anzac Day or Anzac Eve with a focus on the peace movement and the anti-conscription movement that occurred back then, 100 years ago. So that's one way we could commemorate the war.
And what about what sort of events are you guys, for example, I think you already have been doing, right? This coalition is older than this year, even though it's the centenary,
that's,
I guess,
right,
because
yeah,
the war started in 2004.
So it's been around for about a year, and we've been hosting some public forums, which look to tell some of the untold stories of Australia's history. So in October, we hosted Henry Reynolds, who spoke about... He was one of the historians who spoke. Federation. He spoke about Federation and how we federated peacefully, but also that during that first week of Federation, how the military was always celebrated way more than the politicians that managed to make us a country. Because we didn't really know how to celebrate politicians, but we, due to the British Empire, we kind of knew how to, and that's like ancient, you know, militarization, we knew how to celebrate the military.
Yeah. Do you think we still celebrate war in the same way?
Yes, I do. In some ways. Like, we don't necessarily have this, like, it's not seen as a good thing to go to war anymore, but it's still very much part of our celebrated history in a way. Like, you can see that with Anzac Day and how it's has such an important place in our history, whereas other parts of our history is just forgotten. So,
do you think that impacts the... I mean, it's funny for us to sit around and be like, yes, and we want to be peaceful and we hope that we've learnt a lot. At the same time, Australia has found itself in quite a few wars in recent years and is still in them.
That's right, yeah.
So, are we learning?
I don't think so. And that's another lesson to be learnt, I think, from this, is that Australia as a country, we've always gone to other people's wars. Like, we've never necessarily had to have involvement in any of the wars that we've been to. We've followed first the British Empire and now America. We don't really have never really established our own foreign policy that is independent.
And you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. They asked me, did I have any last words to say? Well, I raised my head and I hollered, hey! And the song we heard before the break was It's Good to Be King by Mel Brooks. And I'm going to come a little bit later on as to why I've played that song. But for now, we're still talking to Georgia, and we're talking about the centenary. And I wanted to ask, because I know that there's a lot of funding going towards centenary commemoration.
That's right.
What are groups like you seeing of that?
We don't receive any government funding at all. That said, the government is spending $360 million on commemorating the Anzac Centenary. And each Member of Parliament receives $125,000 to spend in their electorate, well, with community groups that want to commemorate the Centenary of Anzac. Unfortunately, these commemorations are limited to just programs that focus on the service and sacrifice of soldiers. They don't mention anything about peace or the peace movement or... Yeah, so we don't seem to come in... We don't seem to fit into that category.
So I think that's... Yeah, I mean, they're not... I mean, they don't cover history. They don't cover this. It's a lot of money, but it goes towards something only very, very specific.
That's right, yeah.
Really, I think even most... I know that a lot of historians are jumping on this opportunity. Everyone, because, I mean, centenary of any event is usually when people jump up to try and get things done. But it's missed opportunities across the board, I guess.
That's true.
It seems to me that that's kind of... your point as an as a group or a coalition.
That's right. I think there seems to be some sort of political imperative here that needs to be brought to light, perhaps. You know, with the government's making cuts to every other sector of government, from education to health to social services, yet spending such a huge amount of money on the centenary of Anzac and increasing the budget for the military, it does seem to raise some questions as to their agenda. Yeah,
absolutely. And especially, I guess, passing more laws going towards enforcement and sort of military power during a centenary. So what can we do then for peace?
Well, that's a pretty big question, but of course there are many things that we can do to create more peace, I think. Starting with perhaps in our own lives, making a commitment to nonviolence and trying to foster understandings between people in our own lives and other people who are different from us through dialogue or what have you. We can help to advocate for a change in priorities in public spending. So against, increases in military spending, but towards more factors that do contribute to peace, such as education and social services, as they contribute to more an equal society that will therefore become more peaceful. And also supporting other campaigns that are advocating for peace or nonviolence, such as the International Campaign Against Nuclear Weapons, or organisations such as Act for Peace. There's many things that we can do.
Absolutely. I think probably there's a lot of people that sometimes hear that and they think, you know, the idea of achieving peace is a bit far away and a bit silly, but there's a lot going on. And
yeah. And in a way, it's in our own self-interest at the end of the day to
really?
Yeah.
I would have never thought. Of course. So what about, I mean, you have an interesting event coming up this January. Can you tell us about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we're hosting a fundraiser for the Anzac Centenary Peace Coalition, which is a film night. The film will be Beyond Right and Wrong, which stories of justice and forgiveness, which focuses on reconciliation and justice. So, yeah, and we'll have a couple of speakers. Which is
really? Good. Who are your speakers?
Well, Utah are one of them.
What? Yes, that's right. I'll come in for a moment. Yes, I was actually invited to speak at this event, and suddenly we were talking about, and I think, you know, all the purpose of these sort of events and why we're doing, and I suddenly said, wait a second, we're sitting here, I'm going to be getting up talking about interfaith and this and achieving peace, and I said, well, hang on, we better get Georgia on the show to actually inform some of our listeners about this coalition, because I think it's really great stuff, and we sort of forget the potential that we all kind of have to contribute to these sort of things. So let's see, what is the date for this event? It's January 20th?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, 20th of January.
20th of January. And we're watching a film called Beyond Right and Wrong, and it's quite exciting. I'm going to be very excited. I will be speaking. I'm not the only speaker, by the way, so if you really, really don't want to listen to me, you can always catch the other one as well. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can find out more about it. Please remember what I said at the beginning of the show. Go to Facebook, type in The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Find that group. Join it. Because we are part. This is our little community that we have here. We love to try and keep in contact. Sometimes there's also just interesting news that's going on. And especially with events like these, we want to be able to let you know about them. So please join up. It's going to be there. Or, of course, you can check out the Anzac Centenary Peace Coalition and find out more there. So thank you very much, Georgia.
Thanks, Tal. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, the next part of what we will be talking about is a little about the quite appalling tragedy that happened last night or yesterday, which in Paris. And we're talking about Charlie Hebdo, I believe is the name. Yes, that is correct. And so basically we're gonna come to it a bit more in a sec, but I wanted to start by talking about why we need to be able to have a laugh, to be able to make fun of our religions, to make fun of each other. Otherwise, we'd be in serious, serious trouble. So I wanted to go into a song, and it's from a classic, classic movie by Mel Brooks called History of the World Part 1. And as soon as I heard about this event and I know the show is coming up, I said, I have to go find something that makes fun of someone. It's the only, because this is the only way. So I went and found this one. This comes from, like I said, History of the World Part 1. It's from the section on the Spanish Inquisition, and it's called Spanish Inquisition by Mel Brooks. And we're going to listen to a bit of that now.
The Inquisition.
Let's begin.
The Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews. We're going to teach them
wrong from right.
We're going to help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That the Jews just can't refuse.
Confess. Don't be boring. Say yes.
Say yes. Say yes.
Don't be dull. Better to lose your skull cap than your skull.
As we've sort of been dancing around for a while, like I said, so there was a terrorist attack in Paris. Gunmen, they might even think it's three. It was thought to be two. It could even be three now. Went to this place, Charlie Hebdo. It's a satirical magazine. Actually just translates to Charlie Weekly. And it's a satirical political magazine. And this is a magazine which has, I would say, most definitely offends everyone.
Has it been around for very long, Tal?
It has, actually. It's been on for quite a while, since I think even the 60s, Maybe it might have been the 70s, but quite a long. And there was
a long history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was a break at some point in the 80s, I think. But basically has been going right along for a long time. And even if you want to look at some of the most recent magazines, it makes fun of all sorts of people. When we get the Pope in there, or there was one where the Pope was giving out condoms like they were wafers to people in a communion. There's all sorts of different stuff, and then many of them do touch on, of course, these religious issues. Now, one of the most
across religion,
like I said, so that there's been quite a few, and I think, in many ways, to make a bit of the point, one of their more recent ones had a picture of the Prophet Muhammad and also this Orthodox Jewish man, and they were kind of both saying, like, you can't make fun of us. You know, that was one of their front cover magazines, and it was a bit of them taking a stab at what they feel is people being overly sensitive when it comes to the satire that they bring out.
Isn't there something about the Prophet Muhammad's not to be represented in an image?
That's right. So you're not supposed to represent the Prophet Muhammad as an image. Now, it's my understanding that the reason for that is the same as the, you know, Hebrew reason for not having idols, which is that you like that people will come to worship these images of Muhammad, things like that. It strikes me that it seems somewhat strange to then get angry when people are drawing it in a very different context, because now you're tarnishing that good image. It seems weird that it's a law. To me, it strikes me that a rule that came about in order to not have too much focus on the imagery becomes a rule in which then we have to keep that image a bit too holy to even kind of talk about too much. But look, I'm not Muslim, so I don't have that sort of background. So, you know, maybe there's a different history that I don't completely understand, and I'm certainly not going to come along and try and tell people what the rules are and aren't. But basically, yeah, so after these first ones came out, particularly images of the Prophet Muhammad, that was firebombed the next day at the place, and they 100% took it on board and were very much like, no, you can't stop us from doing that. We're not breaking a law in France. If there are laws of countries overseas that we're breaking, well, we don't live there and we don't sell our magazines there. So it's not. And free speech, basically, is the conclusion. Free speech, and we're secular, and we'll make fun of who we want. And, you know, if you want to be part of the mainstream, then you have to be willing to be made fun of. And it struck me that, in particular, they were very sensitive, saying, well, we're not really making fun of Islam. I mean, one of the ones I saw, for example, and I thought it was a great cartoon myself, was one of an ISIS leader about to cut this guy's head off. And the guy's saying in French, you know, he's saying, don't you know who I am? I'm the prophet. And the ISIS guy is being like, you know, be quiet, you traitor. You know, that he doesn't even listen. They kill people and they don't even realize that the whole point is, I guess, that they're killing the religion they're actually from in the process of the way they act. And so, you know, I think they've got a lot of great stuff, important things to be said. But I think it's and of course, this has now resulted in people coming, attacking and shooting, and now there's 12 people dead, including two police officers who arrived on the scene. And it could even turn into more, I'm not quite sure, because there's quite a few in critical condition who might not make it.
How many people were working in the building, Tal?
Oh, I can't. Do we know? No, quite a bit more, and quite a bit in the surrounding areas. It could have been, it was, I mean, obviously 12 people dying is awful, but it really could have been even more.
So were they focused just on the magazine and not on anyone else?
Yeah, so I think at first maybe, you know, as always, there's a lot of wild speculation when it comes to these sort of attacks and why is it and blah. And certainly I heard all sorts of fairly, quite frankly, I thought ridiculous things after the Sydney siege. And you know, I heard weird conspiracy rumors that immediately before the attack, the guy said the owner said there will be no halal in the lynch shops ever. 2 seconds before the guy came in. Yeah, sure. Right. This is conspiracy, quite frankly, Islamophobic type rumors. But it's basically understood that, yes, it was about it was about Charlie Hebdo. It was about the sort of depictions, and whether or not it was about the depiction that day was actually making fun of the ISIS leader, not of Muhammad. But they think really more likely it's because of the ongoing depictions of it. Now, the reason this is particularly concerning is because, I mean, we volunteer our time in media. And
we do.
Yeah. And we volunteer our time in, not only that, I mean, we're on a religious show. And I want you to think about it for a moment. If we weren't allowed to make fun of religion, even us as a show who's here to sort of reach out to our religious members of the community, we would not be able to do this show. It would be impossible. I don't think we've had not one program ever where we've managed to, you know, not make fun of something, or we've probably done things that were blasphemous on multiple occasions. We've made fun of people. And I mean, it's not there to hurt people's feelings. That's not the point. But I guess part of the problem here is that, I mean, that's also going to be a reality with all of these things. And it's hugely concerning for me, the idea that we would have to then restrict. I think the result would be absolutely, absolutely appalling.
I think there's room on all media for a range of thoughts, a range of ideas, and there's certainly room for us to laugh at ourselves, which is, I think, part of what you're saying here, that we can do that within the realms of our own program coverage, and there's an opportunity to also consider the serious side of life and the serious side of religion around the world, and as the Spirit Lounge has done, to have an opportunity to share the reasons behind the religions.
Yeah, and I think I also kind of wanted to bring it up because I wanted to take a moment to say, you know, in a sense, we hope we haven't offended people. Of course, we don't want to offend people, but at the same time, as much as people have the right to be offended, but they also don't have the right, this is a hard way of putting it, but you do not have the right to never be offended. That's not a right that anyone has. It's only a right I don't have. And of course, it's different if I'm sitting in my house alone asleep. You know, I probably have the right for someone not to wake me up and be like, hey, you're a dirty Jew. You know, I probably have that right. On the other hand, you know, when I turn on the TV, if I go on the internet, walk down the street, there's going to be things, and there are things that I find offensive. I mean, not specifically in that case. People aren't yelling at me like that. Please, listeners,
you'd certainly
not
hope not, Tal.
No. And I think that was one of the big things. I mean, we spoke about a few weeks ago, and we interviewed people where people from quite an extreme group came and sort of harassed people in this shop who were gay, a gay couple, and only one of them was there, and they came and harassed. And I think one of the most concerning things, of course, about that is then when it's entering someone's own space, right? You're now coming in and being like, I'm so offended that I'm going to catch you at a point where you can't leave and you're forced to listen to me being angry at you.
Of course, in that situation, they may have been offended, but not at anything that the couple had actually intentionally done.
No, and certainly not to them. I certainly don't think that people are getting into relationships saying to themselves, oh, we're really going to show those religious fundamentalists by being in our couple. And that's one of the biggest points. And I think, and of course, we certainly couldn't have this show, not just in terms of offending our listeners, but can you imagine how many groups, how many religious groups, or just anyone, if they would listen to our show and some of the topics we have, I don't think we'd ever be able to function.
And that's one of the things I think that's great about community radio, because there's so many groups that are able to move into community radio, be able to put their opinions, their thoughts, and just their philosophies across the air so that everyone has an opportunity to listen and hear and judge for themselves.
So our next song on that note is going to be, I love this song. This is from Tim Minchin, certainly someone who probably wouldn't be all that interested in our show. He's an Australian musician and certainly quite, like, a very, very, actually, that's not fair to say. He's not necessarily anti-religion, but much of his music takes on quite a theme that makes fun of religion, or quite an atheist theme. And this is one of my favorite songs that he does. And it's called Woody Allen Jesus. So here is Woody Allen Jesus by Tim Minchin.
Jesus. Jesus was a Jewish philosopher, had a lot of nice ideas about our existential fears, much admired by his peers, short and Jewish and quite political, often hesitant and very analytical. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Woody Allen Jesus. Woody Allen Jesus.
And you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we have come to the end of another show. Oh, you love those sounds.
I do indeed.
You're attached to those. I remember once when we were first kind of talking about this sounds, David's like, I do have a toilet flush if you need it at any point. I do have it, just so you know. But... so, yes, we've come to the end of another show. I'd like to thank Georgia again. So thank you very much. Georgia... I'll remind you, it's from the Anzac Centenary Peace Coalition. She's the project officer there. And I will remind you, please go look them up, go to our events, and we will be posting them up on our group. So remember, I will tell you again, go to Facebook, type in The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 and join the group. Now, this is like, you know, sometimes on the show, we be sometimes, you know, just on Joy as a whole, we're like, oh, sign up, become a member. This is like what I'm doing, like, this week and next week. I'm going to be like, just join our group. It's so easy. So thank you very much. Next week, we're going to be talking to Rabbi Kim Ettlinger. It's really exciting. She's also from Temple Beth Israel. Actually, that's the synagogue that I'm from. It's one of the first shows, a lot of the early shows that I did were actually involving because of the upcoming events they have. And it's going to be really, really exciting. So it is going to be good night from Tal.
And good night from David.
And that's another show of The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.